life. And this is a glorious day, even though our hearts break, but it is a day we all look forward to be home with our Lord in heaven, finally home. And Corinne is finally home, and she would want you to celebrate this day, not to be mourning and dreading it, but a day that she looked forward to. And a day, if you're saved and you know Jesus Christ, you look forward to the heaven that God's prepared a place for prepared people. Amen? And we all rejoice to be in heaven someday. So on behalf of the Martin family, the Bowl family, and all the friends, we want to thank you for being part of this memorial service. And the Bible says, whatsoever you do, do for the glory of God. Amen. And this whole service is a tribute to Corinne. And she'll always have a special place in everyone's heart. You know why? Because she was a woman that had great beauty, who loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all her heart, with all her soul, with all her might. And that's what every child of God ought to do. And then, of course, how she loved her husband. And immensely, amen, made him the man who he is today. Can I get an amen out there? Amen. And the children and the grandchildren. And she possessed the fruit of the Spirit, all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And also you think about long-suffering, amen, and gentleness and meekness, amen. And especially if they put up with Jim for all these years. Amen. A lot of long suffering. Amen. Temperance, control, all these things. And with such beauty. Beth and I had the wonderful opportunity about 6 weeks ago to be with her and Jim in their home. And the spirit was so great. And we didn't know what to anticipate. And we heard about her illness and so forth. But the joy that just overflowed from her, her meek spirit just radiated. And we fell in love with that. And we've always been in love with that. And we were there for about 2.5 hours. And it only seemed like a few minutes, I'll tell you that. And she was so gracious. Pastor, can I get you some coffee? Really eloquent. Pastor, can I get you some tea? And is there anything that you would like, Pastor? I mean, you couldn't ask for the cordiality. I just wish my wife would have that same at home. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. Honey, would you like some? Yeah, I can see that already. No, she does. My wife does send her condolences. She's out. She's on a trip at a ladies' meeting and so forth. She's traveling back now and hopefully be back tomorrow. I just spoke with her. She said, make sure I tell Jim and how much we love the family and love everyone and express her heart of concern. Let me tell you something. What a special woman. And you'll hear her precious memories from the family members, but she was precious. And we had the opportunity, of course, to pray together. And if you've ever prayed with Brother Jim, you know he gets a hold of God. Can I get an amen out there? Amen. And he had prayed, and I had the opportunity to pray with him. And we both knew that we were in the presence of some godly, devoted saints. And I praise that. I praise God for that, the devotion. Because it's a legacy that's carried on in the family. And all those memories, they're sealed into your heart. Not only are they a remembrance, but every time you think of her and so forth, it's going to be sealed into your heart and revealed. Isn't God good to us? That he will allow us to recall our memories back of our loved ones. And you probably have some loved ones in heaven and already you can think of. And there's a lot of celebration going on in heaven, amen? You talk about rejoicing that goes on when a sinner is saved, right, Pastor? There's rejoicing in heaven. There's rejoicing because a child of the King has come home, amen? And I just praise God for that. I was thinking about a passage of Scripture that was so befitting. And I thought about as a tribute to a wife, a mom, a grandmother. And I thought of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, in which it says, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I would like to say the trial of her faith gave praise to God. The trial of her faith gave honor to God, and the trial of her faith gave glory to God. So with that all in mind, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we do thank you. God, it is a day of celebration. It's a day that every child of God, the saint, looks forward to. And Lord, a departure is hard on those that are left behind. But Lord, it's not a goodbye. It's just a so long. I'll see you just in a short period of time. And a time that we can reflect on all that the person has done and the legacy they left behind and the memories that have been sealed in our heart. And we just glory. We glory in these very truths that Corinne was faithful, faithful unto death. She finished the course. She fought the good fight. She kept her faith. And we thank you for that. I pray today, Father, that you'd bless the entire Martin family, the Bo family, the friends, the family that is all here. And Lord, that all connected together to pay a wonderful tribute to a great mom. As you said in the word that the children shall rise up and call her blessed. And indeed, she deserves such a great honor. And we're thankful to be part of that, part of her life, part to know her. And Lord, thank you for the great memories that she has sealed in the hearts of everyone that's here. Now, God, I pray you bless our service today. Give comfort. Let the grace of God be sufficient, as you've said it is. And we thank you for it. Now, bless in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Okay, if there's a blue hymn book in front of you, if you would, take that, and we're going to sing 264. 264.
I come to the garden alone while the dew on my ear the Son of God discloses, and he walks
say that's fitting for a master gardener. And Corinne Martin, she was born on October 25th, 1936, and she passed away on June 2nd at home. it's a good place to pass away. Take your departure flight out of here. She is survived by her husband of 63 years, James, and her children, Ames, Martin, and his wife, Sherry, Jamie Stein and her husband, George, Sean, Martin, and Robin, his wife, Regina, and Bull, and Lloyd, her husband, and James Jr., Chip, that's what I knew him as, Chip, and his wife, Donna. Okay, and then 15 grandchildren and 17 great-grandchildren. If there's nothing been added since this, okay. What's that? 18, woohoo. 18, so we got to add to that. Okay, and then her brothers, she survived by her brother, Ames Grisanti, and his wife, Ann, and then Richard Rapaki, and his wife, Jeanette. And she was preceded in death by her parents, Ames and Irene Grisante. Corinne was a devoted Christian, and that's the greatest title a person could have. And a loving wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, an artist, an avid reader, master gardener, and a calligrapher. So those are some of the things about her life. And if you would, if you take the hymn book again, and we can sing 511. After the song, we'll have a time. If you have a memory that you'd like to give, then we'd like to open up a time for that. 511. My Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. See Him by and by. Only faintly now I see Him, with a darkling veil between. But a blessed day is coming, when His glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold starry sky, face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. What rejoicing in His presence, when our banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straight, dark things shall be plain. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. Face to face, O blissful moment, and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. Now that song, if you had a difficult time singing that song, then if you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, then it would tend to be a little easier.
That song.
And for unsaved people, you would be saying goodbye. For saved people, we just say see you later. Because we know a little bit different there. But if you have a memory that you'd like to give just now, if you would, you can stand here and so we can kind of get it on record. And if you don't, if you want to just stand where you're at, then I'll come with this lapel mic if you'd like to give a memory. Does anybody like to give a memory? Don't hesitate, somebody. Okay. You want to come here? You want me to come there? You can come up here. You're...
up in the sound booth. It was a little lower back then. And we used to have a tape recording of Pastor Ward, and sometimes he tended to run a little long. And he would extend over the length of one tape, and we'd have to have a sermon on a tape and a quarter. And I explained to him the economics of that. You know, being Baptist, we want to watch our economics. And he told me, well, just go ahead and give me a call. And we had a phone back here. And I remember one Sunday I called him twice because he ran over. And then he reached over there and he pulled the plug out of the phone. So that stopped that. Well, you're going to have to bear with me this morning because obviously this has been a pretty emotional time for the entire family. But the truth is, my mom was a precious jewel to her husband. She was an incredible mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and her legacy lives on, and all of you here in this room have in some way been affected. Even if you didn't know Corinne directly, you were affected by her children or her grandchildren and the light of God that showed through her to them. And that's precious. And again, this is a time of rejoicing for us because my mom was sick, and she went the way she wanted to go, with dignity, with her family around her. I mean, we couldn't ask for anything more. And saved with eternal salvation, knowing that she would walk with God. So, good morning. I'm glad to see everybody here this morning. Proverbs 31:28, her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. I loved my mom while she was here on earth, and I'll still love her and miss her even though she's now in heaven. But that's not what I wanted to discuss today. I wanted to highlight a few of the many happy memories we shared. Now, I was born a little bit later in Mom and Dad's life. Some of you know that. And even though they were effectively middle-aged, I can recall many happy vacations, bike rides, and expeditionary treks through the wilds of exotic Indiana, locales like Lemon Lake. It's close by here. Jasper Pulaski Forest Preserve and Potato Creek State Park. Mom and Dad decided early on to homeschool me, and I think sometimes Mom may have regretted that decision, at least in passing, because I tried to get out of my schoolwork. I did. And I was telling Pastor, we had the Saxon math books, and the back of the Saxon math books, every other answer was listed. And she noticed a pattern early on there. If I got 50% of the questions right, that indicated I was fudging a little bit. But the homeschooling, I always thought it was partly, in small part at least, because of the issues I faced in kindergarten as a quirky kid who wore Spider-Man snow boots year-round and a Sherlock Holmes cap. I'm sure some of the people at church remember that, because that was definitely unique. But I got into more than a few scuffles, and they decided to homeschool me, and it was wonderful. It truly was, being that close to the family. And it was such a blessing, because when they homeschooled me, when she homeschooled me, my sister-in-law Sherry and my sisters Regina and Jamie decided to pursue homeschooling as well. And again, there wasn't that huge age gap, so my nieces and nephews became also my friends. And we had so much fun. I see Aaron out there. And I'm going to hold it together. I am, because this is a day for rejoicing. But So they went with us on these expeditionary trips to the Serengeti, which I believe I called the Indiana Dunes at one point, because if you kind of squinted out the water, you could imagine it being a desert. As a youngster, I was fascinated with knives and watches, compasses, cufflinks, gizmos. That stuff persists today. But I remember I used to wear this puffy jacket with big coat pockets, because why not? I already had the Spider-Man boots, you know, just complete the ensemble. But we were at Ben Franklin in DeMott, and I had my big coat in there. I was looking at, I don't know, cap guns or something like that. And the manager of the store thought I was stealing something, and he was peering through, you know how they have those pegboards, just all the little holes? He was peering through that pegboard at me on the other side of the aisle. And Mom came by and she saw him and she said, "What are you doing?" And he looked at her and he said, "I think your son just stole something." So she pulled me over there and she said, "I'll empty his coat pockets." And she started pulling all this stuff out. And here's a blank gun and here's a butterfly knife and two watches and all this stuff. And I hadn't stolen anything, but she defended us. She was a defender and she was a nurturer, and she had such a spirit of encouragement and such empathy for other people, and it continued throughout her life. And then, I'm gonna try to be brief here, there's so many stories, but I was fascinated for a while with Culpepper's Herbal, which was this old book about different medical methods that they'd use in the field to treat wounds and things. And I remember I sliced my finger open one day, and I said, "Mom, I read this book, and it says you can use mint leaves." So I stuffed it full of mint leaves, and then I stitched it up myself, and she let me do it. And there's a little bit of a jagged scar there, but it's just, it's one of those things. And then she said, "Chip, you should really go into the medical field." And I fixed some watches. A couple years later, I got into watches. "Chip, you should really become a watchmaker and go to Switzerland." But she was always encouraging, whatever it was, she encouraged it. She encouraged that sense of wonder and exploration. All of you here today are here as a result of Mom's love through the generations. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And you know, if you never met her before in passing, somebody you know and love was loved by her and God's light shone through her. And that's what we're here for. We are here to reflect the light of God's love to the darkened world. We're supposed to be lights. Mom was an avid reader, and she encouraged me to read from a very young age. At one point during the last few months of her life on earth, Mom had suffered a stroke. And that stroke caused her to lose a great part of her visual clarity and depth perception. As a result, she was unable to read well, and she could no longer draw some of the intricate drawings that you saw here yesterday. She asked us kids to find an audiobook version of A Chance to Die, which is the life and legacy of Amy Carmichael. For those of you who don't know, Amy was a single missionary who at a very young age followed God's call of "Go ye." She entered the mission field first in Japan and then in India, following in the steps of Hudson Taylor. And she used him as kind of an inspiration. Unfortunately, even after contacting the publisher, we were unable to find an audio version, so I began recording it chapter by chapter into my phone and then sending the individual chapters to Mom for her to listen to. God was working on my heart. At the same time, I was reading about this incredible woman. I was seeing parallels between Amy's walk with Christ and my mom's. They both put others' needs ahead of their own. They both asked God for the strength that they needed, not on just a daily basis, but on an hourly basis or minute by minute. They both loved to draw and to write. They had a love for those who were suffering or hurting, and a natural sensitivity and empathy that made them particularly in tune with the needs of others. And that's something that I've found through the suffering that I've seen through some of the suffering that I saw with my mom, because God was merciful and he brought her home before she experienced too much pain. But it gives you empathy and it helps you to relate to people who are in similar situations. And that's something that we need more of in this world. We do, especially as Christians. This is what Amy Carmichael wrote about her very own mother. "There never was such a mother, so good, so loving, so unselfish, so perfect in every way." And you know, immediately I think, none of us are perfect. We all have flaws. But to us, we thought of our mom that way too, despite the fact that she was flawed, just like all of us are. But they went on. "So perfect in every way. We can only thank God for her and try to make her shadowed life bright with our love." And that gets back to that theme. But we're not just supposed to make our mom's lives bright or our family's lives bright. It's our job to reflect the light of Christ and make life bright for everyone. Because he loves the sinner. He doesn't love the sin, but he loves the sinner. This rang true with me. Mom was exactly what Amy described. And recently, her life had become shadowed through this adversity. And our love could, and the love of God could make it bright. There was such an incredible outpouring of love from all of my siblings, Jamie and Regina, and my sister-in-law, Sherry, and Sean and Robin, and the entire family, and my wife, Donna, too. And I'm so glad for all of their influence in her life. And from the grandchildren. And speaking of that, for a while I was fascinated with Russian authors. Tolstoy, Dostoevsky, Nabokov, particularly Dostoevsky, because although the majority of his works were fiction, they dealt with morality, with the human condition, and the suffering that many Russian people actually experienced during the 19th century. And this is something that he said: "The soul is healed by being with children." And that's what I saw with her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. And there's still a comfort to this day, especially to Dad here. It's the generations, and he can see her light shining through them. This is something else that he said: "Man only likes to count his troubles, but he does not count his joys." You can kind of see that if you frequent sites like Yelp that talk about restaurant reviews. You know, there's probably tons of people out there that had a great meal, but the one that stands out is that guy that gave it one star and he said, "No, never go on there again, horrible service." But the truth is, a lot of times we ask God for help and we forget to thank him when he does answer prayer. And that's one of the things I've noticed with Dad. You know, this is hard. This is very hard for him, but he is grateful to God for the mercy that he showed my mom and for the grace that he continues to give our entire family on a daily basis. So that's something we can all take away. We need to be more thankful to God. And there is an immediacy to the grace that we have to remember. And Mom always used to say, "Do the next right thing." And Dad said, "Oh, that was, who was it, Dad? Who originally coined that?" Bob Jones Sr., but I thought my mom coined it because I never read that from Bob Jones Sr. But she used to tell me that, and sometimes it's hard to do the next right thing. Sometimes it's easier to just kind of forget it, blow it off. But now I've learned all I need to do is I need to ask for grace so that I can do that next right thing and then thank God when he gives it to me. I'm going to leave you with this. She had eternal security, and that's valuable. And I know not everybody out here probably does have it, or maybe you know somebody that doesn't. You can share this with them. One of her favorite authors was C.S. Lewis, and this is a quote that he had: "If Christianity is false, it's of zero importance. But if it's true, there's nothing more important in the entire universe." And do you want to put your future at risk like that, or do you want to accept God's gift that he freely bestowed on us? I love my mom, and I'll continue to love her and miss her, but I'm so happy that she's home in glory.
Amen. Anybody else would like to
give something? Maybe not as long as Chip's. He covered everything, huh? You don't have to. You don't.
And
have
I
to.
Thought, hey, did he tell Chip the same thing? I'm just going to share some of the things I asked my mom. Because I didn't know. I didn't know what her favorite color was. I didn't know what her favorite food was. Her favorite artist. Which, Leslie, Michelangelo. What's Michelangelo Buonanotte? You don't know? And what did she do when she saw Moses? Did she touch his knee?
Yes.
That's what she said. She said, Michelangelo was my favorite artist. I touched Moses' knee. She got in touch with that. Her eyes were so different than ours. She saw the beauty. Sherry told me, I realized that your mom saw beauty in so many things that I never noticed. Her favorite food? At the beginning of our journey, salami. Last week on Thursday, I think she said, it's French toast. So then I thought, is it French toast with salami on it? I think it's just French toast sometimes and salami others. It's been a journey. Thank you all for being here. And I know you have memories. Corey learned so much from her. You don't have to say anything. Nikki was there right by our side. And you know what? She was special. And she's so loved. I'm going to be brief.
Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Brother Paul?
I'd just like to reiterate what Kathy said, because I was a young Christian. I wasn't a young man, but I was a younger Christian. And I meant that they were so gracious of him and Corinne. And they would invite us into their home. And he was doing things with Bill Doctor seminars and showing us principles, biblical principles. And there are a couple of principles that I thought, Lord, this is what I want in my life. This is what I want to try to do for God.
Looking around her house and how beautiful it was, and I said, Grandma, you missed your calling. You could have been a designer, or a famous artist, or an architect. She said, I hate when people say that. She said, I didn't miss my calling. She said, this was my calling. She said, you and your grandfather and my children, they were my calling. I don't regret any of it. And I think it's the most important thing that I have learned in several years. She, even to the last moment, this was her calling. She had no regrets. And that's who she was. She, that was what she cherished.
It's hard to think about what you would share about a woman like this. I am Gracie. I'm Regina's, Corinne's granddaughter. I had the privilege of growing up in their home for quite a few years. And I remember that she would say things to me, and I would think when I was little, what does that mean? It was so exhausting, just the same repetitive phrases over and over again. As an adult, I don't think that there's a day goes by that I don't quote her at least once. The thing I love the most about my grandmother is that she was a deep thinker and she was a truth seeker. And for a woman that stayed at home and raised her children and probably talked to children more than anything, wheels never stopped turning. And she never talked to them as if they were children. She talked to them as if they were equals.
Anybody else? Okay, we have a special.
On rocks and hills and mountains call.
From Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, it states, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." The idea there is that Paul was saying that he'd rather get out of here, but it was more needful for him to stick around. And in this case, it was more needful for Corinne to depart. And what's happened is a lot of people are really confused about death and things like that. But if you look at the statement about Corinne's life, a devoted Christian, loving wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, an artist, avid reader, master gardener, calligrapher. What do these qualities or hobbies have in common? They have what in common is one thing is precision, another is persistence, and another patience in order to perfect each of them. Perfection is never meaning sinless. It's not in the Bible. It's a completion. The task is complete. Obviously, you see in her artwork how precise a person must be to have good art. Of course, modern art, you put an eye up here and an eye down here and an ear over here, you know, smoke something and it looks better, okay? And but true art is what Corinne had, and that's precision, special attention to details. It's persistence, because you got to be faithfulness to complete the task. I'm sure at times when you're drawing a picture, you get bored with it. Or it's not thrilling, exciting. But when you get the task done, whoa, now there's something. That's persistence. And then patience. That's when you're struggling, when you can't get the thing done exactly the way you'd like, when it's difficult or it's trying. Now, all those things you can see in art or in gardening. In gardening, you got to be tender with the plants when you transplant them. And all of those things also apply to Christianity. Every one of those apply to Christianity. Precision. Being precise about the words of God. Jesus Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Most people generalize things. Okay, and that's being very precise. Persistent. Persistent where you're being faithful, where people don't want to really hear what it's got to say. Patience. That's with people who are having a tough time to receive what's spoken. And yet you still love them and you have a patience and a long suffering towards others. And you see this perfection, as you get to that, it's a completion of a task that's well done. The sincere desire of Brother Jim and Corinne for each of their loved ones, their children, their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, their friends, is that you can be the best that you can be for Jesus Christ. You can be the best you could be for the world, but that's done once you're gone. Okay, but you can be the best you can be for your maker. The best thing a person can do is to be prepared to meet your maker or your savior. That's the most important appointment of life. And Colossians 1 verse 28, this is what Paul's desire was. He says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in perfect in Christ Jesus. You see, the will of God and the purpose of creating this world and the purpose of actually creating the devil or Lucifer, as in he fell and all that stuff, is to find out who would become his sincere friend. That's the purpose. Not robots, but a friend. You have to have an evil in order to make a choice, in order to discover real friendship. And so that's God's purpose, to have fellowship. And when the fellowship was broken, who sought who out in the Garden of Eden? It was God that sought Adam and Eve out. He's the one doing the seeking. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4 says, it is God's will that all men are to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Some people are just satisfied with salvation. That says, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Both are there. That is the perfect will of God for every single individual. And there's nothing better than that. And that's precision in Bible study and doctrine. And that's persistence in remaining faithful to the Lord. And that's patience with yourself when things aren't going well, and with others when things get difficult. Now, we're thinking back on a lot of things that Corinne has done for others. And I'm sure you reciprocated it back to her in this life, but you know, you're not done. What can you do for her now? You say, nothing. Oh, no, you can do a lot of things for her now and to the rest of your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8, it says this statement. Paul had invested in somebody's life, and then he said this, for now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. In Proverbs 17, 6, verse 6, it says, children's children are the crown of old men. Children's children, that's grandchildren. And that's like a crown that's given to the grandparent in heaven by living a faithful life here on earth. You know, I have grandparents that are in heaven, and I know that what I do for Jesus Christ here on earth is padding their account in heaven. It's not done for them, because their works do follow them. You see? And so what you can continue to do for Corinne is she's invested. Now, how about a return on that investment? How is that done? It's through faithfulness to Jesus Christ. It's being precise with this book. It's spending some time in this book. It's being precise. It's being patient with people you try to tell them what this book says. And you see, that's a payback, if you will. It's an investment coming back to the individual who's already gone. You see, it's not, her account in heaven is still going on. You see, and everyone's account in heaven, when they're saved, is still going on depending on what they've left back in the past, what they've done, how they've invested in people's lives, and a bit of them keep going on. It's like when you put a seed in the ground, that seed dies to itself and then the fruit comes up. You see, and so at this time we realize that holding our grudges or disagreements are not worth the bitterness. It's not worth it. You realize the joy of encouragement through the struggles of life, to encourage each other. Now this thing we call death. I think it was, Thursday night that Corinne said this, dying. I've never done it before. I don't know how to do this. And that's like if you've never taken a flight in an airplane. The first time you take a flight, an airplane flight, you're kind of nerve-wracking. Now, if you catch the word in Philippians says a desire to depart. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, my departure is at hand. Now, often what the Bible does, it takes something you and I understand to explain something we don't understand. If you go to the O'Hare Airport, you go to the airport, there are two places you go, departure gate and arrival gate. And if you go to the departure gate, which you used to be able to go to the gate and watch, but if you go to the departure gate, you know what you'll see? You'll see tears of sorrow at the departure gate. At the arrival gate, what do you see? You see tears of joy. Different motive. You see, in Genesis 35, there's a lady that died in childbearing, and it says, and she died, and it says, and her soul was in departing. The soul departs the body. And in James 2:26, it says, and the body without the spirit is dead. So the soul and spirit steps out of this physical body, steps into this, through this thin veil right here, this veil that's right beside us, this parallel universe right beside us, steps into that veil and then goes into the presence of Jesus Christ who's saved. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, some folks want to believe in soul sleep. Maybe they like being Rip Van Winkle, but I don't know about that. But when you're absent from the body, the Bible says you're present with the Lord. And it's far better. It's far better. So it's a departure. So at the departure gate, which is where we're at, we see tears of sorrow. But I guarantee you, at the arrival gate, there are some great tears of joy. And that's what death is. Now, birth is a gift of life. You see, it is a gift given. Now, Jesus Christ will take that first birth because none of us did anything to get born. And we're all, I was very glad I didn't learn about claustrophobia before I was born. Okay, and so nothing happens. I mean, the baby does nothing. Who does the work? Well, it's not Dad. He's in the corner fainted. It's Mom that goes through the pain. She went through the emotions. She went through the jaws of death. She gave life as a gift to a baby. Well, Jesus Christ said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So what's he telling us? Well, if the first birth is a gift, the second birth is a gift also. For the believer, you are born twice, but you only die once. For the unbeliever, you're born once, but you die twice. And there's a better way out. And that's it, get born twice. And how does that work? Well, if the first one is Mama that went through the pain and went through the jaws of death, and she gave life to a baby, the second birth, who does that? Well, Jesus Christ is the one that made the statement. So he's the one that suffered. He's the one that died. He's the one that was buried and rose again. And when a person believes in him for salvation, he gives that individual eternal life as a gift. It's a free gift. Ain't nothing better than that. Nothing better than that. And then you have two births and only one death. And that's the true desire. That would be the absolute desire that Corinne would have. And then you could start to begin your relationship with God, to fellowship with him, because it's only found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so when each of us appear at our departure gate, what's our response going to be? It's going to be one of two things. It could be, I'm glad I did. Or it's going to be, I wish I did. There has never yet been in history a Christian on their deathbed that repented of trusting Christ. Never have they been sorry of that decision to trust Jesus Christ. There have been many atheists that on their deathbed wished they'd have made a different decision. There has never yet been a Christian on their deathbed that when they were dying and departing from this life, I wish I'd have never heard of Jesus Christ. Never. Or being faithful to Him. And when it's being faithful to Him, that's where this funeral time is actually a time of memorial. And to be honest with you, it's a blessing where, you know, you hear so much when you go to funerals, this person did this and wonderful, and you're thinking, was that a different person they were talking about? They didn't seem to live like that the way I knew them. But in this case, it's true. A lot of times you just kind of sidestep all those other things when it's not. Because the big issue in life is how you're going to be at your departure gate. And it can be a lot of joy if you know the pilot. You can relax if the storm's coming because you know the pilot. He owns the airline. And there's no charge. And there's no delay. It's on his time. And there's nothing better than that, to believe in Jesus Christ. And then you're looking forward today to see him face to face in all his glory. That would be the greatest gift, first for yourself, but secondly to Corinne. And then live faithful to that Savior. Shall we pray? Lord, I do pray and ask that by chance, if someone here is not saved, has not trusted the Lord Jesus, help them to see the great opportunity that they have by believing in you. Thank you for the testimony of Corinne, Brother Jim, and the family. And I do ask and pray that the Spirit of God would give grace through this time. And I also ask that the Spirit of God would speak to the heart of anyone who has not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and they shall be saved. I ask that you'd work in a masterful way as only you can do. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Now we have a special on the stringed instruments. travel out to the graveside, it's probably going to be a little over an hour. If you're not going to go to the graveside, then we do have a meal planned, but you can either wait around or travel over to DeMott. And so the meal will be here in the gymnasium when we get back.